on Twitter. It's at Aaron J. Fentress. So as we hit the last few days of February, how is Team Fentress, puppy included, doing this week?
Oh, we're doing well. Thanks for asking. The puppy is getting a lot bigger and becoming a little less puppyish and more manageable, which is nice. But as far as what you said earlier about the refreshing my computer or Twitter feed for Bears quarterback news, you are 100% on point. I search for Chicago Bears QB news every day, and everything seems to be in a holding pattern, and I think that the Bears are literally waiting and hoping to hit huge and then figure out a backup plan later. So they're waiting on Watson. They're waiting on, hey, now Wilson. And who knows, if Carr's available, I think they'd go get Carr, and then after that, figure it out.
So if I give you a hypothetical and say the Bears are going to get Deshaun Watson, they're going to have to give up Allen Robinson, Kyle Fuller, their next three first and second round picks. So beyond whether I'm out of my mind, all things equal, they're healthy. What would be your expectations under those circumstances be for what they could accomplish this season?
That's a lot, man. Like, if you get you said three first and three twos.
I know. I was being a little over the top just so. That's what they had to do. And I was thinking just for this year. It's basically I was saying, they get him. They get him.
You know, he had a great season, and the Texans went 4-12. But the Texans had no defense. The Bears would still have a defense. So I think they would have a chance to be better than they were last year. They were just 8-8. So you would figure that Watson, even with losing Robinson, and the picks wouldn't matter because you didn't have those players on your team this year. I would think they would at least be 10-6. The question is, at some point, if you give up all that draft capital and you're paying a quarterback, whatever, what is this new deal? It's close to $40 million a year, isn't it?
Yep.
Is it 4 years, 156?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like,
well, for normal people, it's crazy money. For an NFL quarterback now, it's par for the course.
It's minimum wage. Okay, now I have no draft picks for the next couple of years in the first two rounds, and I'm paying my quarterback a boatload of money, and my defense is very expensive. I'm already pretty much at the cap, so if I let Robinson go and restructure to get Watson in, what kind of team am I? I mean, that's the concern. So that's where you have to, like, ask yourself, is doing all that to get Watson worth more than keeping all of those assets and getting someone else who might not be Watson but could still be an upgrade from what we had in Trubisky? Like, that's what you have to measure. And now the other thing you could say, well, you give up the draft capital, and then in a couple of years, you get your draft capital back, and Watson's only 27, 28, and he's still yours, and he's got, you know, 7 years of prime left, assuming he stays healthy. So you can make that argument, too. So I honestly, at this point, with all the trouble the Bears have had finding a quarterback, I think you go all in and just get one and then figure it out from there.
So a different direction. They're like, all right, we're not going nuts. Trubisky's not going to be our starter. They make a small move. They wait until the Raiders cut Marcus or send them a third-round pick. So if Mariota is your starter this opening day, while they still have Robinson and Fuller in that secondary, then what would be your expectations?
Well, then you're not giving up, if you're keeping Robinson and you're not giving up anyone on defense and you're able to keep your first-round pick and draft, then I still think it's the same. Like, I still think you're 10-6, maybe 11-5. I truly believe in Marcus, and some have accused me of believing in him because I covered him or whatever. But no, like, I covered Vernon Adams. I didn't think he'd make it in the NFL. I covered Dan Thomas. I didn't think he'd make it in the NFL. Right? It's not like I believe Marcus Mariota can be good just because I covered him. That's ridiculous. I still think he can be good. He's shown flashes. Like, it's not like he didn't show any flashes. He did. Now, the new staff that took over in Tennessee didn't like him from day one. He didn't fit what they wanted to do. I think Mariota needs to play in a system that fits his skills, and I think that with what Nagy liked to do, Mariota would fit in that system. But, you know, the Bears might have their own feelings on that. Obviously, since they didn't sign him last year, so trading to get Foles, which still was just stupid. And I was right on that, and they were wrong, so I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt. But so I would gladly take Mariota because if they release him, I think you can get him for a reasonable number, and then because he's looking for a starting job, you might have to outbid somebody. Maybe Washington jumps on. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, to me, if I think Mariota might not be Watson, but he's going to be pretty good, and I keep all those assets, then I'm definitely looking at that. Like, to me, he has to get another shot somewhere as a starter. Like, I'm still shocked he didn't get one last year. And I'm shocked Winston didn't get one last year. Like, I don't believe for, like, Washington, was the Washington football team better off last year without Mariota or Winston? I don't believe they were. Was Jacksonville better off without one of those two? I don't believe they were. Like, with the Bears, I don't believe they were. Like, there were several teams. The Broncos, I mean, really? You were better off without trying one of those two guys? Like, I just don't buy that. So I believe for both of them, there should be a starting opportunity somewhere.
Well, by the way, the next person who hits you up and says you're evaluating a player based on if you covered them or they played on Oregon, I'm giving you my permission to give them my home number because I want to talk to them because they're criminally insane. All right.
Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah, really. Way to pay attention. Let's get to some Duck news as we continue with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. You know, it's weird. I'm here in Eugene. Obviously, Duck football rules. There's, you know, obviously a lot of other popular sports. But the guy who started every game at quarterback for the Ducks this past year, Tyler Shuck, transfers. He announced he's going to Texas Tech and really didn't cause much of a ripple down here. I know they've got experience in Anthony Brown, the talent in the quarterback room, the new guy, Ty Thompson, Jay Butterfield. So your angle from level of surprise to impact, what was your read on that?
Oh, man. You know, okay. So Shuck clearly had some, you know, problems at points last year. However, it was his first year as a starter. He took over that job in a situation where spring was shortened and the lead up to the season was not ideal, you know, and it's just, it's hard for me to say that that is his peak, what we saw. And if that's his starting point, which was leading the Pac-12 in passing efficiency, then that's a pretty good starting point. The problem was, you know, he didn't carry the team in some certain situations. The running game last year was not all that great. I think they averaged like 167 a game or something like that. So he wasn't, you know, supported by a dominant run game. The defense was nowhere near as it was as good as it was the year before. So basically, he didn't elevate the team from the quarterback position. But I don't know if he was necessarily ready to do that. So does that mean though he's a finished product and you're moving on from him? That just seems weird to me. Now, I did hear last week a source told me that what came into play is that basically Shuck was told, we're leaning Brown for next year. You can still compete, but this is where we are, and that didn't sit well with him. And so he decided, well, if you're leaning Brown and Ty Thompson's coming in, right, where does that leave me? I'm going to go find a better place for me. Now, I think this is one of those situations where there's not a right or wrong. I think you have to always give the coaching staff the benefit of the doubt that they believe that moving forward, Brown is their best option, and that if they're being honest with Tyler and they tell him that, and then he feels, well, then it's my best option to leave, then that's his decision. I think he could have stayed, and who knows? He just because they're leaning Thompson or Brown doesn't mean it ends up being Brown. Like, because one of the things I just talked about before, just now, was it was his first year. He's still developing. So by the end of spring, it could be like, oh, my God, Tyler Shuck's way better than he was last year. Now he's the guy, right?
Right.
Or going in the fall camp. Or you go in the fall camp, and Shuck's number two, and Brown struggles, and then Shuck comes in and saves the day, and now he's the guy. You know what I mean? Like, it could go a bunch of different ways. But I think if you're Shuck and you see someone coming in like Thompson, and he looks like, you know, he's, I mean, no one's can't miss, especially in college. Right? I mean,
obviously.
Yeah. I mean, how many Oregon, this is another thing. Like, how many 4-star quarterbacks has Oregon burned through in the last 10 years?
Yeah. Who's going to be
burned through them?
Right.
Like, they just never did a thing. Right. Shuck is the most, accomplished 4-star quarterback that's ever transferred, that's transferred from Oregon in the last 15 years. Let's go back to DeRocher, who I think it was a 3 or 4. No other 4-star quarterback that transferred did as much as Shuck, but they've burned through a lot. So nothing's a sure thing, not even a 5-star kid like Thompson, but he is obviously a big-time talent. So if he's coming in, I would have guessed and assumed that if Oregon was firm, not firm, but basically leaning this way and saying we're leaning Brown to Tyler, and knowing that that might cause Tyler to leave, that they feel good about the other young quarterbacks on the roster, Butterfield and Ty coming in. So it's one of those dicey situations, but it's the toughest position to manage. It just is, because you can only start one, and once you settle on one, all the others have to decide their future. And we saw that just a few years ago. Taggart comes in, and at first there's this little buzz about Taggart, like Terry Wilson, because it reminds him of his quarterback at South Florida, right? And I even told Taggart, I'm like, dude, if you start Johnson or Wilson over Herbert, I will write a headline that says Taggart must go. I told Taggart that. And he goes, yeah, but if that guy succeeds, then you have to retract that statement. I go, I'm not retracting anything because it's not going to happen. There's no way Herbert's not going to be the guy. And so by like the second week of spring, Taggart was like, yeah, you're right. Herbert's by far the best quarterback. And what happened? Johnson transferred during spring, right? Or did Wilson transfer first?
I think Wilson went to Kentucky first, right?
And then a couple weeks later, Johnson left or something like that. Or did Johnson leave in the summer? I can't remember. They both were, by the time fall, or did Johnson leave fall camp? I mean, I'm getting old. I can't remember. Anyway, by the time the season began, Burmeister was the backup, right? So once you settle on a guy and everyone looks around and goes, well, that's the guy. How old is he? He's a sophomore. Well, I guess we got a bail. So that's why it's just such a funky situation. But at the end of the day, I think Shuck is going to do well at Texas Tech. I think he has some legitimate abilities. He's still young as a quarterback. I think he's going to mature and grow. But Brown is a veteran guy who definitely looked like he can play. And we saw that at Boston College, if you watched any of the year of that. And then you're pretty set behind them with still some really good young quarterbacks.
Man, I'll tell you though, if the formula spits out Lubbock, I'm just skeptical to begin with. But that's just me. I'm kind of a city slicker. All right. So Coach Cristobal rounded out this staff now with Marcel Yates, coach as a secondary. And it's really interesting. You have two coordinators who've been head coaches, you know, at FBS levels, SEC and Mountain West. Almost every position coach has been a coordinator. Even the special teams coach, Bobby Williams, was a head coach at Michigan State. And I'm not going through all 130 staffs to see how unique this is, but it seems kind of unique. And just the level of experience seems just different, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. If you're able to get two coordinators that have head coaching experience and, you know, great success as coordinators, and, you know, they're not long in the tooth, but they're veteran coaches. They're not, you know, youngsters. You're doing pretty well for yourself. I think Cristobal has shown easily in his first, you know, few years as a coach that he's done a good job of identifying and reeling in and hiring coaches. And he hasn't just gone the veteran coach route, because obviously Avalos was a young guy who'd never been a head coach before. I totally agree. Like, I think you feel like, you know, I'm not trying to read Cristobal's mind, but I think he feels like he's gone out and gotten two extremely proven guys who in their respective sides of the ball are, I don't know if I use the phrase can't miss, but I would say they're not going to fail. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between failure and being great. They might not be great. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? That could depend on the personnel. That could depend on injuries. That could depend, you know, but they're not going to be the problem. You know what I mean? You know, in 3 years, you're not going to say one of these coordinators was the issue, right? They're just too good. So now you just have to make sure you get them the right talent and they have the right talent to develop the right people, and then things fall into place. So no, I don't think there's any question that Cristobal's done a great job at hiring those coordinator positions.
Yeah, and I think there's also something that doesn't get enough credit at times is those were two guys he really wanted from the get-go. It wasn't like, mm-hmm. I got turned down, and I got it. And both those guys seem just over the moon to be here, which I think may be an undervalued aspect of the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
All right. I made a great point. We're going to end on that because it's a rarity. He's Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. Always appreciate the time. And crazy to think, the next time we'll talk, it'll be March. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right, bye.
Take it easy.